Jesus Christ, the name above every other name. Amen. In the coming days, it's the name that all knees are going to bow. And every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There won't be one who won't confess it, because, of course, Jesus will have revealed himself. But not as a man, not as a son of a carpenter, but this time as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you and I are living this life through faith to follow Jesus as he is now, though we see him not. Maybe you don't picture him each and every day as you rise up as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, yet he is. He is more than the man who died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He is the one who triumphed over death and over sin and hell. And he needs to be exalted in our thoughts and in our understandings every day if we are going to live a victorious life. You agree with that? As I know you do. For the Lord has been faithful to us. In fact, he has never failed us. He's never forsaken us. He's never left us. He's been beside us. He's been with us. He's been in us. But yet we have forsaken him. And I think as we've been studying the journey of Israel, we've seen some amazing things take place and some tragic things take place. And as we're going to see today and perhaps in the future, as the scriptures reveal the struggles of people just like you and I with faith in serving a God who they can't see, who has a purpose that they may not fully know or understand. Yet that's what we're called to do. And this is our journey of salvation. So I want to continue today with the restitution of doctrine. And this is part 7. And we're going to talk about the children of Israel leaving Egypt. Why are we talking about the children of Israel? Why are we talking about this nation that was, you know, birthed out of Abraham and came down today? They're still here. Over in the Middle East. Why are we talking about them? And what relevance does that have in our lives as Christians? So I gave it to you last week, but I would like to give it to you again. That scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. I remember this because my pastor before me had ingrained this into my heart, and I'm sure that those of you who grew up in the church as I did, that would also be ingrained in yours. But I want to bring it to your remembrance. And for those of you who don't know why, we look into the Old Testament, into the things that happened to the children of God back in those days. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10. By the way, the whole chapter has to do with that journey. And worth reading also with Acts chapter 7. And you'll find Hebrews chapter 9. All those things talk to us about the journey of the children of Israel, or what happened in their lives and how it relates to ours. So verse 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition." So we have access to know these things through the eyes of the Lord. We're not reading history as written by man or as man has recorded. We're reading the Holy Scriptures as the Lord has chosen to have it preserved so you and I can understand what took place in those days. And that it has some relation. In fact, it's given to us so that we can learn from it. And it says that we can also be corrected by it. So we can learn from the things, the mistakes that took place in that nation in those times. They are written for our admonition. And then it says, upon whom the ends of the world are come. This is the relevancy of the journey of Israel to our time today. And of course, for our learning and for our understanding until the time of the end. So I want to mention a few things to you today. I think it's important that we don't hide ourselves from our own mistakes and faults. When we begin to justify our mistakes, we're no longer able to hear the voice of the Spirit. We're no longer able to be led by the Spirit because we are being deceived. So we don't hide ourselves. In fact, the things in our lives that are contrary to the Word of God, to the purpose of the Lord, to the will of God, we ask Him to forgive us for, that we may be clean in His sight. You know, I find that for me, I ask the Lord to wash away the sins in my life, to cleanse me from the things that would hinder Him moving in my life. I don't want anything. I don't even know. There may be things that I don't know, but I can come to Him as a father and say, Father, teach me the things. Show me the way that I may walk uprightly, that I may stand in Your presence. And that truly is the desire of my heart. Lord, forgive me, help me, direct my path so that I can stand in Your presence, so that I can stand before You, a holy, righteous, amazing God and my Father. So the children of Israel were in captivity, and I want to make this analogy this morning. The captivity can be tolerated. In fact, it can even become an acceptable way of life. As we've seen with Israel, that many generations were born into that captivity. And that being the way that it was, there was no experience of freedom from bondage. They had no idea. They had nothing to compare it with. So when you're born into captivity, not only it's the way of life. There is no other way of life. And I want you to think about that this morning, because the lost without Christ are that way. Generation, they're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. And the generation before, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We often look to our forefathers or to the people that our moms and dads and so on to find an understanding for this life, to see how they've coped with it and that. And that's when Christ needs to come into our life so that we can have an understanding of who we need to pattern our lives after, who we need to follow. So if you're born into captivity and there's no experience of freedom from bondage, this is what was the core of Israel's struggle in the wilderness, that they had no knowledge or experience of the freedom that God was leading them to. They heard the words. They heard Moses speaking. I'm sure they had heard the words that were passed down. However, after 400 years, the words may have gotten muted a bit, as that wasn't taking place, and they were born into, like generation after generation, into bondage. So the struggle with Israel in the wilderness, or after leaving Egypt, is that they were face to face with something that they'd never encountered before. So much so that it made the bondage of their captivity in Egypt to be more appealing than to not know where you're going, to not really know what was going to happen down the road. And that was the struggle that they had with their faith, as we learned and studied, and as we'll look at again. So what happens in those things? Well, when doubt enters in, the immediate circumstances, where they are, what was going on, the struggles that they were, that was happening immediately, begin to rule their thoughts. And we can all relate to this. We're surrounded by our circumstances every day. They don't go away. We face them every day. If you don't pay your rent, your unpaid rent will face you tomorrow. Amen? And the next day, until you're evicted from your place. However, the things that the Lord has promised us, the vision that he's given us, the hope that he's sown within us, we have to stir and revive in our hearts each and every day. So as Israel was going along and doubt began to enter in of where they're going, what was really going on, and it happened because the circumstances that where they were facing immediately was hunger and thirst began to rule their thoughts. And faith was put to the side. And what's interesting about this recounting of the journey is that in spite of their recent experiences, in spite of the things that had just happened, they still had the dilemma, and it was still upon their minds almost all the time to go back to Egypt. And that's what fills the mind when times of doubt come. And it not only, plagues Israel, but it plagues each and every one of us. Because how easy it is to forget what the Lord has done for us. Can you say amen to that? How easily we forget what God has done for us. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," the psalmist said, "and forget not all his benefits. Count your blessings, name them one by one." Let them have names. Yes. Did you know the children of Israel did that in the journey in the wilderness? They named each spot after what the Lord had done. Whether it was bitter water or wherever it was, they named it. Count your blessings. Beloved, we too easily forget what God has done in our lives. And he certainly has done some amazing, miraculous things. I'm sure that you can say as well as I that there has been a parting of the Red Sea in my life. Yes. Where God has delivered me from my enemy. So, in spite of their experiences, their circumstances ruled their thoughts. I want to say that again because that's really important and it's so relevant to us. In spite of their experiences in Christ or in the Lord, their immediate circumstances ruled their thoughts. And that's where the warfare begins and takes place in the life of a believer. When I want to do good, I find evil is present with me. Romans chapter 7. Although the physical enemy was destroyed in the children of Israel's case, the mind was brought back to captivity. And bondage or bondage thinking ensued. You understand? Even though the physical enemy was destroyed, the mind was brought back into captivity. You know, it's things like, I wish things could be different. I wish things could be different. Oh, well, that's just the way it has to be, I guess. You know, I hear that. I can see that. I've experienced that. You know, I wish things were different, but oh well, this is the way it is. That's bondage. And it's creeping back to ensnare us, to take us back to the place of captivity. And left unattended, the mind reverts to its carnal, willful, lustful state, which brings death. And I'm sure many have experienced that. Leaving the mind unattended, what happens? Thoughts come in. Overwhelming thoughts come in. Insurmountable thoughts come in. And we start doubting everything. Out of our mouth comes doubt. Unbelief. Division, discontent should never come out of somebody who's been redeemed from death. Do you hear that? Can you agree with that? That our conversation should be in heaven. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, you know, think on these things. Too easy. We allow our minds to be taken over by thoughts that are not God. And we often regret and left unrepented of become bondage in our lives. And I'm speaking to some of you out there today that you have bondage in your life because you have not put your mind in the place for God to speak to you. I'm not judging you. I'm admonishing you to consider first the things that the Lord has done for you. Consider first the kingdom and submit yourself to God's will. The life of a rebellious person doesn't end well. If you're fighting all your life against these things, it won't end well. Give in. Repent. If you've got aught against somebody, if you've got aught against me, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. Amen. Heal. Healing comes like that. It's the way of the Spirit. The things I don't want to do, I do. That's the way of the Lord. And so it becomes this way in our life. Although we have experienced the joy of coming to know Jesus Christ when we knelt down and we acknowledged him as the King and Lord, someone who our Father in heaven gave us his Son, died on the cross, shed his blood so we could be free of our sins. And we're so gloriously joyful in that. And a song comes to us. Oh my goodness, how many times the Lord has touched us in our life, healed us, moved on us by our Spirit, lifted us up out of the miry clay, done miracles, things we don't even know how he's watched over us, how he's protected us. Lord, don't let me forget one thing. And so the mind, when it begins to just focus on the circumstances and not remember the word of the Lord, that I'm going to take you to a land. I'm going to lead you to a land. I've prepared for you a place. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare you a place. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And if I go and prepare a place. I'm going to come again. Receive you unto myself, because we're going to be together. Yes, Lord. Thank you. How awesome you are. It's in the midst of that that the enemy just loves to come in and magnify your problems until they become so overwhelming you doubt whether there really is a God, because you've drifted so far from him. And I believe that this time is a wonderful opportunity, a test of our lives and what we're going to do with Christ. And if we're satisfied to just carry on the way we are, well, I suppose that becomes our decision. But it's not God's plan for you. And it's not his plan for me. He has an awesome plan for his church. And we've been speaking about that, and we've been looking at the word for that. And we need to prepare ourselves to receive. We need to ask him to forgive us. Forgive us our selfishness. Forgive us for so easily departing from the faith. So easily forsaking the faith to do our own things, to please ourselves. Oh, wretched man that I am. I can identify with what Paul was saying in my life. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My soul cries out, hallelujah. The spirit within me cries out, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let the body be set free to worship the Lord. Let the spirit use you, your hands. God is glorified. Lift up the hands that hang down. Strengthen the feeble knees. Open up your mouth and sing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Where you are today, you have an opportunity to be free. Hallelujah. To be set free. Or you have the ability to be in bondage. In your own mind. To be forsaken. To feel abandoned, to feel sorry for yourself. But you have no right to, because Christ has done everything to set you free, to give you joy, to give you hope and liberty. And my beloved brother and sister, please grab onto that. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Like the song says, the voice of truth tells a different story. It's the voice of hope. And we need to have it today. We need to have that voice. It needs to be in our homes. It needs to be in our thoughts and in our mind. And when that thought comes in, that's derogatory or hopeless or doubtful in any way, we come against it with the word of the Lord, bringing everything, every thought into captivity. Parallel today, the world is in bondage to sin, is born into sin. And you know something? Religion has become another form of bondage. It literally has become a place where people are not free, but in bondage to religion. They become in bondage to the situation that religion, that salvation without Christ leads us to. Liberty comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To be crucified with Christ is wonderful, but if you're not risen from the dead, it becomes nothing. I want to remind you of that scripture. The Lord is looking to revive his people. to bring us out from the depths of hopelessness or doubt, wherever it might be. In Hosea 6, 1 and 2, come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. I'm one of those people, Lord. After 2 days, I need to be revived. Glory, hallelujah. Let your spirit revive your church. Raise us up, Lord, that we get rid of that land of captivity thinking. That somehow it was our former lives before Christ. It was so familiar to us. We got used to it. This is when I face this circumstance, this is how I address that problem. Whether it was going to the bar or going and having a drink. I mean, if you look at the Hollywood answer, that's what it is. You got to have a drink. You got to go to the bar. You got to do some drugs or whatever. Yet that's how you deal with that situation. That's the world. That's not you and I. When we have a problem now, as those who've been redeemed from that bondage, we go to the rock. Hallelujah. We go to the Word of God that all of a sudden brings inspiration. It sets us back where we're supposed to be. It allows us to understand. And it helps us recognize this captivity that wants to continually bring us back. This bondage that wants to consume us. Don't be a sucker. Don't be someone who's deceived. The world has nothing for you. And if you remember back, you'd know that. Don't remember the leeks and garlics. Remember the bondage of the taskmaster. Where you were never free there, you were always in bondage, doing what you were told to do. Don't go back. Like they said, the Lord said to Moses, he said, why are you crying unto me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Where was forward? Into the Red Sea. The Spirit of the Lord is calling his people to rise again. After 2 days, he will revive us. Oh, I embrace that. I understand that is God's plan for my life. To revive me for the purpose of the kingdom. And for the last times. And so you as well, my brothers and sisters. So deliverance from Egypt was not only through the blood of the sacrifice lamb, the Passover, but deliverance from Egypt also was through the passage of the Red Sea. And as we look at what took place, the miracles, signs and wonders, the power of God manifested, bringing the kingdom of Egypt to its knees. What a glorious time. You know, I try to just sit and imagine, if I possibly can, and I know that I can't grasp it all, but how glorious the Lord was and how magnificent he made himself known to this nation, to this kingdom of Egypt. And not only there, but the words of what took place there went throughout all the earth. Everyone knew what the God had done to the Egyptians and what he did for the children of Israel. He brought Egypt to its knees through many miraculous signs, wonders, miracles. And the now nation of Israel was brought out from the midst of Egypt without a battle and without loss of life. You think about that for a second. There's nothing ever that's even close to that that's happened in history. that the Lord literally brought the slave nation out from the middle of the greatest kingdom on the earth, brought them out from the midst of them. No battle was fought. Not one life was lost. And to top it all off, they left the land of captivity with great possessions. Hallelujah. How great is our God, as we were singing. How great is our God, who said, come out from among them and be separate. And that's what the Lord showed us. That's our example. In fact, that's our admonition today. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. And I will receive you. But what's that condition? Come out from among them and be separate. Hallelujah. And the Lord makes the way for that to happen. And then he begins to work in their lives. Such an awesome deliverance. Supernatural intervention from heaven that the whole world knew about in an otherwise hopeless situation. And we know that they weren't coincidences, as people like to say, as scientists like to say, as we've talked about that a few times, how they said that, you know, well, the Red Sea at a certain time of year is only about 2 feet deep. And so the children of Israel didn't have much of a difficulty walking across the Red Sea, and that's the scientific explanation. And then somebody said, well, that's even more of a miracle, because all Egypt and Pharaoh and his chariots and hosts were drowned in that 2 feet of water. That's incredible. Either way, our God is amazing, right? No, that's not what happened, and it doesn't say that's what happened. But, you know, somebody always says, well, that was a coincidence. Let me tell you how that those coincidences began to be ruled out. In Exodus 8 and verse 19. And the magicians did so, it says, with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beasts. And the magicians went to Pharaoh and said unto him, this is the finger of God. In other words, this is beyond our wicked abilities. Whatever we had, whatever power we had in our ungodliness, in our wickedness, inspired by the demons, we can't do what God can do. Hallelujah. That was the third miracle that the Lord had done in the land. They were able to do the rods into snakes. But here the Lord, it's like the Lord finally said, you know, I need to start putting you back in your place. How great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. Glory to him. Exodus chapter 9 and verse 13. And we'll read down to verse 17. It says, the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. You know, before in the beginning, he said, let them go 3 days journey that they may worship me. The Lord no longer said that. He's saying, let them go that they may serve me. Verse 14, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I lift my hands to that God today. The same God who delivered those people from Egypt is my heavenly Father. And is yours if you can receive that. If you can overcome the doubt in your mind that comes by the circumstances that you face, you'll be able to see that he is your father and you are his child. And then start to recognize the things that he has done in your life to reveal himself to you, to teach you along the way. Hallelujah. Father, you are greater than my circumstances. And in my hour of need and in my time of need, I come to you. You are my hope in desperation. Hallelujah. Who shall separate us from the love of God? That you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. Because at the beginning we studied, we looked at the scriptures. What did it say? It said that Pharaoh said to Moses, to Aaron, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let these people go? And the Lord is saying, I am going to show you that there's none like me anywhere. Do you know what exciting when I study this is my God who likes, who loves, who must be glorified. And he will be glorified. And he will be glorified in this generation. And his name will be exalted because he is the God of gods and the King of kings. Jesus Christ is the Savior of all men. For now, verse 15, for now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite you and thy people with pestilence, and you shall be cut off from the earth. And in very deed, for this cause have I raised you up, for to show in you my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Hallelujah. His name is going to be glorified. And those people who reject him, they are going to be the example that reveals how awesome our God is. As yet, verse 17, as yet, exaltest, this is the question, as yet, you exalt yourself against my people that you will not let them go? In other words, I'm going to show you who I am. What can we learn from this? That there is no power or authority, no situation in which our God cannot move to fulfill his promise and his will. Nothing. There is nothing that our God cannot do. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. Will you say that with me this morning, brothers and sisters? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. One more time. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. My mind needs to understand that. My mind needs to hear that and know that. Because sometimes my circumstances don't testify to what God is doing. It doesn't mean he's not doing it. Oh, my Lord, thou art holy. Thou art glorious, thou art mighty, and we worship your name today. Hallelujah. So, what can we learn? Our God is able to do as he said he will do in his word. And there isn't any authority greater than his. His promises are yea and amen. And his will be accomplished in your life if you submit to him. And I like to remind people all the time. And I do this because of my own life's experiences. Don't diminish what God can do through your unbelief. You see, he's able to make out of you whatever he wants. He's the potter, and we are the clay. And it's in his hands, if we will allow him, if we will release ourselves, our thoughts, if we give ourselves to him, he will mold us and shape us and make the perfect vessel that he's designed for your life, for your purpose. Do you understand that? How easy for us to say, well, you know, that's not really me, or, you know, I don't think that's possible. I've said that so many times in my life. I never believed what God was able or wanting to do with me. I was such a fool to let my mind that was birthed in bondage influence what God wanted to do. No, my doubts and fears are not in the Lord, but his word is what I trust. His word is what I believe. That's the authority that I put over everything in my life that's not of him, or that may not be of him. In fact, that's how I know. Let the Lord have his way in your life. Not my will, but your will be done. You know, when we prayed and asked the Lord to forgive us and come into our life, we asked him to live inside of us. We asked him to be our Savior, to lead us and guide us. We submitted ourselves, our lives to him. He had purchased us with his blood. We are no longer our own. The scriptures tell us that. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. So therefore, it says, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Yes, we shall indeed sing through the coming ages, throughout eternity, of our God, who is an awesome God. Oh, he's going to be glorified from age to age coming. But he alone is worthy to be praised for what he's done, for his love for us, for his plan for you and for me. So it's the power of faith that takes us through the Red Sea. And it was the submission to following Moses, who was the type of Christ, through or into the Red Sea and through the Red Sea. Let's look at what took place there. In Exodus chapter 14 and verse 8, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. That means that when they left Egypt, they were confident. In fact, they probably believed that at that time that their release was agreeable. There wasn't any fear or doubt or that. They came out with a high hand. That's what it means. But the Egyptians, it says, pursued after them. And the children of Israel did not believe that was going to happen. All the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near to the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And it says they were so afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And then it says, they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, you have taken us away to die in the wilderness. Why have you dealt with us this way to carry us out of Egypt to end now? Isn't this what we told you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone, that we can serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Can you believe that? It's almost impossible to believe how that the minds of men could be so ill-affected in such a short time and forget all that God had just done. But it's true. Why? Because their circumstances dictated every normal thought of every normal man that their life was in jeopardy, because the host of the armies of Egypt, of Pharaoh's armies, were closing in on them, and there was nowhere to go. And if you and I were there, perhaps we would be thinking the exact same thing. My God, we're all going to die. And they started getting after Moses, and all they did was speak all the doubt and unbelief and horrible things. For us, it's easy because we know the end of this story. But at that time, it's not. But when your circumstances are so overwhelming that every normal thought, normal way of thinking says, there's trouble, it's insurmountable, you're going to die, whatever it might be. No. That's the time to look up to the Lord and say, I trust you, Lord. And we have so much. We have so much power within us. We have so much authority in our lives, in our bodies, that we have received this power from heaven. We have received the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that's making alive our mortal bodies, that there's this power living within us, that even now death and the grave, which afflicts all mankind, has no power over you and over me because of the work of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary and out of the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. Say it with me. Our God reigns. We are not subject to the thoughts or the thinking of man who's weak and insignificant and just a susceptible little thing. You'd think he was the top of the food chain, but when his mind gets involved, he's not. At the very bottom, because he's susceptible to every little thing, even a little thing called coronavirus. Can't even see it. But it's got people huddling in their homes today as though it's the end. And it's nothing. Nothing yet, but it's coming. But you and I, are we afraid? My God, I hope after all these years of following him that we have this understanding. Whether in life or whether in death, we shall glorify our God. Hallelujah. Whether we live or whether we die, we shall see him. Hallelujah. This is not the life. We're not born for this life. We're not born again for this life. I saw a good thing. It says if you are born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're only going to die once. Do you get that? Maybe I'll let you think about that for a while. I thought that was pretty good. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, brothers and sisters, this is an exciting journey we're on. Let's get our faith going. Let's rise up. Let's be men and women of faith in this generation and not be susceptible to every wind that's blowing around, every doubt and every fear of man. If they want to be afraid of virus or pestilence or hunger, let them be. But you and I, our confidence is in the Lord. Our confidence is in our God. We're not afraid, for all that we have ever needed has come from the Lord. Oh my goodness, the children of Israel in the wilderness, They were taken care of by the Lord. Literally out of the sky came bread. Why should we be afraid? If all these things are written for our admonition, for our example, why should we be afraid of anything that should come upon the earth or any evil or wickedness that's in man's heart? Why should we be afraid? Should we be afraid? I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Glory Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So, here we are. Let's not leave the children of Israel complaining. Let's get them out of this mess. Is not this the word in verse 12 that we did tell you? Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And no, if any of us were God, we would have said, yeah, please go back. I don't need you kind of people following me. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. The first thing that comes, don't be afraid. I will not fear. You are with me. Who said that and when did they say that? Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah. Oh, the word is there to strengthen and encourage us today. I know I'm a little bit long, but I'm coming. This is the end. This is the end. Bear with me. Moses said, fear ye not, stand still. In other words, don't do anything. And see the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid. What are you talking about? Don't be afraid. The Lord is with us. He has made a way for us. But all we see is trouble. Yes, but he's made a way. What's that way look like? I don't know. Let's trust in him. He's made a way. What was the way? To part the Red Sea by an east wind. I still don't get it. How it's dry underneath, how there's a wall on this side and a wall on this side by a wind blowing and the people can still walk against the wind. I thought it must have been a tornado or a cyclone and they walked in the eye of the storm. But it doesn't say that. That's my mind trying to figure it all out. I don't know. All I know is that that's what God does. He does things beyond my imagination. It's kind of why I have to trust in him. Doesn't he do things that you can't figure out? All the time you're thinking, wow, that's amazing. Of course, that's a difference between his thoughts and our thoughts. His thoughts are so much higher than ours. You have seen the Egyptians for the last time. You're not going to see them anymore forever. The Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They were coming to a place where they were going to be able to fight, but not now. The Lord wanted to show them. In fact, if you look at the story, you see the Lord led them away from a battle with the Philistines and brought them through the Red Sea because he knew that they couldn't get into a battle right away, that they would just be discouraged. But even so, they were discouraged. And then it says, listen to this, and this is our closing scripture. And I'm going to read it to you. I'm going to read it to you fast because it's so amazing. Exodus 14, verse 29. And you know what? You should have already been reading this, knowing that we're speaking about this. You should be filling your home with the word of the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Chapter 14, verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. The very next chapter, listen what happens. This is how quickly you should have left us in Egypt. Yeah, what are you doing up here? You know, you're just trying to kill us. Why didn't you leave us alone, Moses? And then they're singing a song. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel a song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. Amen? Complaining. A couple of minutes later, or a day later, they're singing a song to praise our God. The Lord is my strength and song. Listen to these words. And he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is the man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host has he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee and sentest forth thy wrath, which thou consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, and my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them, and they sank as lead in the mighty waters. I'm spitting all over my book here. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and the mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold on them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by thy greatness, of thine arm, which they shall be as still as a stone till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The last verse, the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. And God bless you, brothers and sisters. Have a wonderful day.